The Lord is very jealous. I was just thinking about that this afternoon, how God loves us so much and such a high price was paid for us. And He's jealous over us, folks, with a godly jealousy, a good jealousy. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And He doesn't want us people to be muddied by the world. He doesn't want His bride, amen, to be muddied by the evil. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We don't have to bow our knee to any cow. Amen? There are many cows that people are bowing to. No disrespect to the Hindus, but we worship a higher God. Amen? Hallelujah. Our God is the true and living God. He's the eternal God. And He's our righteousness. So my righteousness is not good. His righteousness is good. And if I'm self-confident, then I will not fulfill the will of God. Because it's not about us achieving, is it? Achieving means, you know, I'm working towards something as far as I'm earning wages. And that means that I'm in the place of works and not of grace. And you can't live both worlds. You're going to be in grace or you're going to be in works. And in works, there's no victory. There's no joy. There's no life. I cannot produce life, amen? Whatever life I have in my soul, God has given to me. But what we want is His life. And in order to have His life, we have to die to our life. And our life is really not life at all. It's an old, discarded, you know, Adamic nature that cannot please God. God doesn't patch it up. He doesn't pour His grace on flesh. Amen? But He creates us into a brand new being, a new creation. And He adorns that part of us, that new man in Christ. And He's raising us up to be presented in that day as a pure virgin, His bride, that has come out of the world. And we have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. And the world is constantly screaming for our attention, trying to get our attention. Hey, over here. Hey, over here. Hey, over here. To pull us away from the will of God. The devil is a thief. He is a liar. He's a robber. And we are to completely forsake that system that is in opposition to the will of God. I wanted to read from Revelation 21 tonight, beginning with verse 1 through verse 8. I love this portion of Scripture because it points forward to our eternal home. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And I love this part. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Why is that? Because they came from Him who is true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'd like to just stop right there. First John 5, 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's what we talked about this morning. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. We are called to overcome this world. We are not to be victims. We are victors. In fact, we are more than victors. We are more than conquerors through Him, through Christ, who loves us. Now look at chapter 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And by the way, people who go to that place are people who choose to. They choose to go there by rejecting the mercy of God that's being offered to them, the forgiveness and the grace at the cross. There is no other way. That word cowardly, in King James, I think it says, uses the word fear. They're fearful. Means timidity or to shrink for fear. Those who shrink for fear, those afraid to accept Christ, and listen, to bear the ridicule of the world. Those who are afraid to receive Christ and to bear the ridicule of the world are the cowardly. Another translation says, the cowardly who turn away from me. Those who love their life to the death. Those who will be in a place to even deny Christ. How many know that you and I are living in very uncertain times? We're living in the last of the last days. We are the people of God, the bride of Christ. He's preparing a church, a glorious church without spot or blemish. She's going to be a ready and prepared bride. She's going to be looking for the one, for the bridegroom to come and to receive her unto himself, because Jesus said in John 14 that I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself. But the Bible says that the cowardly, those who shrink for fear, and those who are afraid to accept Christ and bear the ridicule of the world, are also going to be having their part in this lake of fire. Now, what we are called to do, obviously, is not anything we can accomplish in ourselves. We cannot overcome this world by trying harder. I've tried that and it didn't work. There are people here tonight, or people that aren't here tonight, should I say, who are not here because, as I read this morning, that quote from David Wilkerson, the devil has convinced them that they could never be Christ-like. And they've become discouraged and disheartened and they've given up. See, the devil is a hard taskmaster, and the devil wants you and I to try to strive to achieve. When God says, abide and receive. Receive what I've already done for you. Amen. Accept it. Amen. Deny yourself. Get yourself out of the way, out of the picture. My grace is what's going to sustain you. My grace is what's going to empower you. My grace is what's going to make you bold as a lion. My grace will give you fearlessness. It's not in the power of self, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we can overcome fear of men, which is a snare. In order for us to be the people, the witnesses that Christ has called us to be, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must have the power of God in our lives. We must be empowered by Him so that we are not subject, amen, to fear of man and fear of the devil, fear of death. If a man or a woman has fear of death, it means that they're not ready for eternity. When you can say with confidence, I'm ready to go, it means your heart is right, truly right with God. We should not have fear of death. We should have full confidence in the grace of God that is freely given to whosoever comes to Him and says, Jesus, I receive You. I receive You as my Lord. I receive You as my Savior. Jesus said, those who come to Me, I will what? No wise cast out. My confidence is no longer in my ability. My confidence must be in God's ability, in God's power. He is all sufficient for us, folks. He is the one who has gone before us. He has paved the way. He has overcome the world. He has already won the victory. Amen. The victory. And we are more than conquerors through Him. Why? Because we are walking in what He's already accomplished for us. It's grace. And without Him, we are nothing. We've been called to overcome. He, verse 7, who overcomes shall inherit all things. When we say that I receive Jesus, that means I receive everything that He requires of me as well. You know, it's easy for us to say I receive Jesus when there's no threat of persecution. And for many around the world to say I believe in Jesus, I'm a follower of Christ, is literally the death sentence for them. And you know, too many of us, even in America, we're so thin-skinned that we can't even confess Jesus to our friends sometimes. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Or neighbors, or co-workers, or people on the street. And the most it could cost us is just rejection from their company. Which wouldn't be the worst thing to happen. Come on. You'll find out who your true friends are when you truly commit yourself to Jesus to follow Him. I had a lot of fair weather friends, you know, till I gave my life to Jesus, and then they weren't around anymore. Now, if you want to compromise, I'm talking about there are people that you can get back to and you can reach, amen, because the light's on and they're going to see the change in you, and God wants you to be that vessel to lead them to the same Savior, right? But there are going to be those who are just going to say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore because I want to live my way. I did it my way. Well, your way leads to hell. Any man's way apart from the way of Christ is the way of death. You know, there is a way that seems what? Right unto a man. But in the end, thereof is the way of death. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yes. You know, folks, we've got to get beyond just the theory of that to the realization of that. We have a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. One translation. But God, amen, is our peace who guards and protects our mind. We have not been given a spirit of fear. So if we are fearful, we need to understand the source of the fear is not God. And if that is the case, the solution to fear is in His presence. His perfect love casts out all fear. It just means we've got to die some more to ourselves. And you die in His presence. Folks, when I'm full of me and not full of Him, I can't do anything. I can't overcome. I can't be a light. I can't be a witness. I can't make a change. Or I can't affect change anywhere. Unless I am fully submitted to Him and I am filled with His Spirit and His power and His ability, and I am trusting in His ability exclusively. I am not trusting in my ability, but in His ability. God will take what we can do and empower us, amen, to do amazing things. Even, yeah, the natural things that God gave you are also a gift, but they must be submitted to Him. You have to come to the altar of sacrifice and lay it down and say, God, it's no longer what I think it should be look or even look like. We've all got ideas. I sat in a meeting the other day, and there was so many ideas. These are ministers, and I won't go to where they were and what was going on, but I heard so many talking about this thing and that thing and this vision and that vision and bigness and largeness and numbers and all this stuff. I'm thinking, is that what it's about? What I see in a lot of that, folks, is not just someone who says, Lord, I'm just thankful to be alive. I'm just thankful that You've forgiven me. You've had mercy on my soul. And what can I do for Jesus? What can I do? Lord, I'll cut the grass. I'll sweep the floor. I'll do whatever You want, Lord. I'm just thankful for Your mercy, God. What can I do for You? It ain't about making a name for me. What can I do to make Your name famous, Your name great? You did all that. You went to the cross for me. We forget sometimes. We get off into building our own kingdom. Running off to our own paneled houses, you remember? Doing our own thing and then wondering why we're not satisfied. Why we're stressed out, we're worried, we're fearful. Because we've got to die to ourselves. When I get into a place, if I'm starting to worry or get fearful, folks, it means I got to die to myself some more. I just got to get back and get just shut in with Jesus and say, Lord, consume me with Your love. Worry is illegal for me. It's I'm not to entertain it at all. If it comes along, I need to understand the source of that is never from God. In my flesh, I'm worried. In my flesh, I'm fearful. Even though you may act tough on the exterior, come on, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of that is because of an inner insecurity. So you don't want anybody to touch you or hurt you. But real power comes from the Holy Spirit. Inner strength. The ability to stand up on the inside. And if you're standing up on the inside, you can stand on the outside. Cowardice or fear is really a result of unbelief. It's unbelief. It's me not really believing that God's going to take care of it. Or that God's not bigger than that thing I'm facing. You've heard me say this before, but I've been in church situations where a demon-possessed person will walk in and the people of God will freak out. Not in this church, but I've been in them before where it shook everybody there. Why is that? Could it be because we're just so full of ourselves and we don't have the substance which is Christ who enables us to know who we are and the authority that we have, and that we don't have to in any way be fearful of our adversaries, because greater is the one that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? And if anything, those devils should be trembling if they come into this church. Yeah. Amen? Or if they encounter you on the street, you should know who you are. You should be in the Lord to a place where, you know what, I'm not living in fear of man. We've got to overcome. And you know, sometimes we just decide, well, I'm a little afraid to do this and I'm a little afraid to do that. God may be calling me to do that, but I'm just afraid to do that. So we don't do that. Or we are confronted with a situation where people are involved. And instead of doing what we know we're supposed to do, we shrink back in fear because of the fear of man. Are you hearing me? And we don't do what God told us to do. God has got your back. He's got our back. And folks, no matter where we go, what we do, if you're in Christ, God has given His angels charge concerning you. They try to touch you. You abide in Him. You continue, amen, to walk with Jesus, listen to His voice, simply walk with Jesus, and those devils can't touch you. They can't touch you. They can throw all the curses and the spells they want at you. God has got His angels in charge of us. You know, I made the joke about, you know, God is bigger than the boogeyman. Well, you know, the boogeyman is actually called Bogeyman. And I believe it's in Haiti. And so that's where that came from. God is bigger than the devil. And God doesn't want His people to be fearful, because fear has torment. And God wants us to fully trust Him. Let go of your life. Let it go. God, I give you my life. Doesn't matter what happens to me. My life is in your hands. You decide. If you decide to take me home, take me home. If you want me to stay here and serve you a little while longer, I'm game. I want to do that. But God is with me. God is for me. And I don't have to fear my adversary. I don't have to fear people. I don't have to have any fear in my life. And if, again, if I'm in fear, it means I need to die to myself. Because it's in your flesh where you're fearful. How many would agree with me when we have a good time of worship together? Maybe you came in and you were just feeling a little bit shaken about stuff or worried about stuff. And all of a sudden it's like, man, whatever happened to that worry I came in with? Worry is a form of fear. Yeah. Now this is the awesome thing, that you and I are in Christ. Christ is in us. We have the Spirit of the living God in us, the greater one on the inside of us. And He will give us supernatural confidence, supernatural boldness, supernatural ability. Ability to overcome the world. In order to overcome the world, we have to understand, we have to overcome fear. I was thinking today about David facing Goliath, you know, and how David was in a situation where he had no other choice, no other alternative. He's either going to defeat this giant or he's going to be lunch. That's where we're at, folks. We're either going to defeat that giant of fear, stomp on its head, cut its head off, or we're going to be its lunch. And we're not going to do it because we're just tough people. We're going to do it because we're weak and we're being strong in the Lord and we realize He is our sufficiency. I'm filled with the Spirit because in myself there's no confidence. I can't be full of Jesus and full of me. And when I'm full of me, I'm fearful. Just means you got to go deeper. Hide yourself in the Lord. Be immersed. Stay saturated, folks. God's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can pray in tongues. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost and build ourselves up. Strengthen your inner man. Jude 20. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let God build you. Let God reinforce that inner man. Hallelujah. If we fear people, you know as well as I do, you will seek to please them. And that's often a disaster. If we love the world, we will seek to love the world or live according to it. Another one is if you fear your sin, you will serve it. If you fear your sin, you will serve it. The reason why many people are bound in sin is because they believe the sin is greater than God's grace. I can't. No, you're right. You can't. That's the point. He can. His grace is much greater than all our sin. Don't fear sin. Sin has been dealt with by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? At the cross. He has come to set us free from the power of it. He's come to set us free from the fear of death, from the fear of man, from the fear of failure. Amen? We can do all things through Christ. If it's God's assignment for you, if it's God's instruction for you, His grace is sufficient for you to complete it. You will be an overcomer if you believe that the greater one in you has already overcome and that He's with you. You will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. When you start to feel fearful, you begin to quote that 1 John 1:7. Amen. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And meditate, dwell on that, speak that out until it becomes rhema, it becomes living in you, amen? And you just say, you know what, I am not going to let this giant push me around anymore. David was looking around at the armies of Israel that were shaking and afraid to confront the giant. And this little boy was the one who stood up. Why? Not because he was anything, he was a little pipsqueak. But because he had confidence in his God's ability to defeat this giant. And he came against him in the name of his God. Hallelujah, the Most High God, El Elyon. And he defeated him. And folks, we are in this battle. And we are in this thing to win. We are overcomers. We are not beneath, but we are above. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has given us authority on the earth. Amen. To bind and to loose, and to take authority over all the works of darkness, to destroy the works of the devil. We are not to be fearful of man, fearful of failure, fearful of the devil, because Jesus Christ is the great one. Amen. He's our Lord. He's overcome. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And every knee is going to bow to Him, and every tongue will confess He is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the devil laughs at Christians who are afraid of Him. Because he knows that they don't know what's freely given to them. He knows that they don't believe in the great God that they claim to serve. It's not in my confidence, folks. It's in His ability that I place my trust. Jesus, be my strength. Be my help. Be my strong tower. Be my deliverer. Fill me, Lord, with Your grace. Fill me with Your power. Lord, it's no longer I. I don't want to be in the equation, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So when we're fearful, folks, it simply means that we lack the power of God in our lives. Proverbs 24:10 says this, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. God will allow us to fail. God will allow us to crumble. He allowed Peter to do that. God will allow us to be tested. But the test, amen, is a good thing because it means that there's an opportunity for me here. With every test is an opportunity for promotion. So God will allow us to be tested and be confronted with things or situations. And that's the time when we're no longer in the classroom. That's when we need to apply what we've learned in the classroom on the field. This morning I talked about the soldier who, when he's in combat, he then has to depend or rely upon his training. He has to go back to his training. Now, what did I learn? What was I taught to do in this situation? So we're being equipped, we're being trained, and then it's out there in the world, on the field, that we're going to apply what we learn, and God knows what we've got on the in the bank, amen? Yeah. On the hard drive. And so you're going to be confronted with opportunities for you to apply His Word to overcome and defeat the giants that are standing in your way, because God wants to bring you into the land. He wants to bring you into His rest. He wants to bring you into a place where you are going to be defeating the devil, amen, and helping others get free.
Amen.
We can't help other people if we're all messed up. So God wants you to first tackle the giants that are in your way in your life, amen, and then you can help. And even while I'm tackling giants in my life, I still try to help people. And He'll use you in the areas where you've had victory to impart, amen, strength and encouragement to others. You've gone before. You said, you can say, I've been there and done that. And let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you what God did for me. I want to testify.
Amen.
And I want to release that same grace into your life right now for your situation. In Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, we know this so well. But Paul said, finally, my brethren, what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the wicked one. Put on the full armor of God. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in self-confidence. You know, there's this self-help Christianity today that's just messing people up. It's all about programs and self-improvement and techniques and, you know, folks, you got to get beyond the principle to the substance, which is Christ. You need to know Him personally, amen? You need to be filled with the power of God. Sometimes it's the simplest people that have the best victory, the greatest victory, or they can walk in it. Why? Because they're not so full of their own ways and their own wisdom or their own education. They just say, God, I don't know what to do. Help me. Come on. And if we're full of our own ways, God knows how to deal with that too. He did that with Paul. He had to strip Paul of a lot of confidence he had in his own ability because he was so educated. You know, he was a religious man, you know. And yet Paul had to be brought to a place where he's like, it's no longer I. I came to you in fear and in trembling. And I didn't come to you with excellency of speech, but in demonstration of the Spirit, amen, and of power. That your faith would not lie, what, in man, but in God. God's ability, the power of God. God wants us to have confidence in Him and His ability, and no longer in my ability. And in order to get us into that place, we have to go through the tests. We have to go through the trials. We're going to be tempted along the way. We're going to have things come against us. But they're all good for us because they're preparing us for reigning with Him. If we can't get control of this body and make this body submit, come on, then we're not material for reigning. Come on, you got too many in the pulpit that, you know, today who don't have character. And I'm not here to boast because I know that if it wasn't for God's grace, but when I say that, I say I have to depend on God's grace. Or I can be just fall into the same trap. But many ministers, you know that. Men, high profile ministers that have anointings from God have fallen into trap, have fallen into immorality. God's looking for character. God's looking for honesty. God's looking for integrity of heart. God's looking for people who He can entrust with the greater riches of the kingdom. People who are going to bring glory to Him and not shame to His name. So we're going to be tested and we're going to have to overcome. And sometimes it's the little tests, folks. You know what I'm saying? The glimpse, the look at this or that, the thing that catches your attention, you're on the computer, this thing pops up. Oh, you want to go there, but you say, no, I can't do that. Speak to the hand. I want to be integrous. Why? Because he who sees in secret sees all. He knows who we really are, how we really live, what we're looking at, what we're entertaining in our minds. And maybe we can say, well, I had victory with that thing. Well, guess what? Sometimes the tests get a little tougher. They get a little more challenging. Why? Because with the tests comes the potential, comes the, you know, yeah. No confidence in flesh, no confidence in self. A soldier's confidence is in what? His armor. It's in his training, absolutely. It's in his weaponry. He has to know how to use his weapon and use it effectively. He needs to know how to properly protect himself, to don his armor. And yes, you're absolutely right. He needs to be trained and instructed so that when he's on the battlefield, he's not going to become the victim. Because in this battle, folks, we are always the victor if we follow the instructions of the one who's gone before us, who's already overcome the world. There's no reason why we cannot overcome the world. Christ has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need, he's made available to us freely. Come, drink, be filled, put on the armor. I've made it available to you. Put it on with prayer. Lord, clothe me in your full armor. Anoint me with oil. Amen. Empower me. Strengthen me with might in the inner man. God wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to be people who are not going to shrink back in the day of adversity. Because if we do, then our strength is small. And it's just another way that we realize that, okay, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. When we get self-confident, that's when we get ready to crash. Yeah. And then we say, "Ooh, okay, God, I'm sorry. I shifted my confidence away from you to self. And whenever I get into that place, man, forget it. Because then a little while later, I leak out. You know, I get thin-skinned. I get fearful. I get worried. I'm stressed out." God says, just come back into my peace. Because ultimately, the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours anyways. Abide in him. You remember Peter on the day of Pentecost? He was the one that denied Jesus, but yet on that day he stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwelt in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." He preached an awesome sermon that day, didn't he? How many were saved altogether? I know it was 5,000 and then... It was 5,000 and that was just what the men, it says. Yeah. So you have to put the numbers and try to come up with a... And they had big families back then too. But the bottom line is it wasn't any longer Peter and Peter's self-confidence. It was now confidence in Christ. Peter had been broken. Peter had been conditioned. And now Peter was going to be an instrument that God would work through mightily. And Peter would be the fearless one. You know, Peter had a lot of self-confidence. And he was an outspoken guy. He was a man, probably a man's man, as you would say. But Peter found out that when it came to spiritual warfare, he was a wimp. He couldn't do it. Come on, the little tiniest lady is a formidable foe to the devil if she knows who she is. Come on, it's God's power, amen, working through. The victor is inside of her and she can slay any giant that comes her way in the authority of Jesus. The devil hates it when we talk this way. We are not to be overcome by fear, but we are to overcome fear by faith in Jesus Christ. Psalms 23 and 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Thank God that He disciplines us, amen, but He also comforts us. And there's comfort in God's discipline too. What did God say in Hebrews 13:5? He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." The first on the list of those who will be barred from heaven, folks, the first ones that are mentioned here are the cowardly. God has not called us, amen, in cowardice. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we need to know who we are in Him. You will know your identity because if you seek Him, you will discover who you are. You'll never discover who you are. People are trying to find themselves by looking at themselves, and they don't find themselves, or what they find they don't like. That was me. The more I saw myself, the more I didn't like. I went to find myself, you know. Anybody gone to find yourself before? The more I discover Him, the more I realize who I am in Him. He reveals to me my true identity. I'm a son. I'm an heir. I'm family. I have access to my Father's house. I can come confidently into His throne by the blood that Jesus shed, made possible the window, amen, the door is open. The veil is rent. We can come now confidently to find mercy and grace to help us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Get into His presence. Seek the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And you will have the confidence that only Christ can give you. And it is a confidence that lifts us up above fear, above worry, above anything that the world may throw at you. There are times when you're going to have fear, yes. There are times when you're going to be faced with the giant. But the worst thing you can do is to try to turn your back and run away from the giant. Because you are in a battle, whether we like it or not, we are in a war. And the good news is that Jesus has already gone before us, and we are more than conquerors through Him. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We cannot lose if we confront the giants that face us in the authority of Jesus' name. So don't ever allow that giant to make you cower or shrink back. If you're confronted with it, you face it head on. In the name of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Not in yourself, not in your confidence, but confidence in my God. My God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. My God is more than able. Folks, you and Jesus are a majority. Come on, I mean, just you have Jesus? Come on. We don't have to be afraid. When you start to get fearful, you need to say, wait a minute, this is illegal. We get worried, start to worry, it's illegal. I just need to die to myself more. Come on, if we die to ourselves, well, there's no worry that can get on you. If you've died to yourself, then what people say about you isn't going to, well, it ain't going to affect you because you can't get a dead man upset. The more we die to ourselves, the stronger we are in Him. And that's what we call our armor. We get our thick skin by the power and the Spirit of God, amen, not by self-confidence. It's the opposite. In the world, people, again, they can be buff, they can be strong externally. but they can be weaklings internally. Well, we have a giant on the inside of us that's bigger than any giant that we will face in this world. And we put our confidence in Christ alone, in the Lord and His ability. And we say, I can do all things through Christ. And when fear tries to come again, we say, but God said, I have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, not of fear. Don't ever run away from your fear. Don't ever give in to it. Face it. And when you stand up against that giant, guess who's going to come through for you? The greater one will drive him away. He simply needs a vessel that will say, I'll speak for you, Lord. I'll command that thing to go in Jesus' name. And it will. You battle, you fight it, and you don't give into it until you know it's gone, it's defeated. Same thing. Too often we just throw the towel in on the verge of victory. But if you stand up against your adversaries, we're not talking about flesh and blood, but even sometimes people who Satan is using to try to get to you, stand your ground. Because you serve the Almighty God. Hallelujah. We are not to be the intimidated. We are to intimidate the devil. And if people are operating in the devil's court, they're going to be intimidated by people who know who they are in Christ. You know, folks, I've heard testimonies of people who are in witchcraft and in Satanism, and they'll steer clear of certain people in the church. You ever notice that? Even sometimes you get some people that come through the door here, and they seem to be targeting the vulnerable or the newborns or the people that are just kind of getting their feet under them. They'll go right after them. But they're not going to come to somebody who's got some stability in Christ and some understanding of who they are. And the same thing is true, folks. If you and I are strong in the Lord and the power of His might, these people that are the agents of the devil are going to know that they're not going to be able to mess with us. And they can curse, they can do whatever they want, but you can't curse what God has blessed. I'm blessed. If you believe it, then you're given power to. But I don't believe in the devil. Amen? I don't believe that he is who he says he is. He's a liar. He's always trying to exalt himself above the Most High, you know. Well, we're Holy Spirit-filled people here. Amen? And our confidence is in our God, and our God is with us, our God is for us. How many know, folks, if God wasn't with us, we would all be toast by now? The devil would have taken us out a long time ago. God has got some protection for us. And He's going to keep us safe and in His arms, amen, and surrounded by His angels until the day when God says it's time for you to come home. And so that should give us confidence to say, no matter what, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But my destiny is in His hands. He's going to decide for me. So why should I sit back here in the camp and tremble? When that giant comes, you know what? We're not going to step back. We're not going to shrink back. We're going to face it, and we're going to conquer it in the name of the authority of Jesus. Because that's what God's called us to. You remember, there's no armor on the backside. You get an arrow in your back. You face that giant. And I have discovered, whenever I've had a fear or something that just seems so big and so insurmountable, and something that if I would face it and I would come against it, you know, it's like that movie Facing the Giants. But if you would just face it and confront it, I've discovered that it's going to move. It's going to yield. It's going to go. That's why Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Speak to it. Don't cower under it. Speak to it. Command it to move. He's given you the authority to do that. Know who you are. No confidence in your flesh. If you're fearful or whatever, you just got to die to that thing. Amen? That part of you. Just keep seeking God. Say, God, just give it to him. I'm fearful. I need strength, Lord. I can't do this on my own. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are often looked upon as being weak in the eyes of the world. Oh, you Christians, you just need a crutch. Well, if you're crippled, a crutch works just right, doesn't it? Problem is they don't realize their own condition. And I was once like that. Yeah. And I've realized that, you know what, when I look back at it, is the people that were real Christians were actually intimidating to me. I was all tough and bad on the outside, you know, but inside I was like, man, I can hang around them, man. They just freak me out. And smile at me like that, and it's like they're glowing, these glowing people. I didn't see a lot of them, but there were some there that were along the way. They were real Christians. And I was actually intimidated. And so understand, folks, that as you get stronger in the Lord, and God's making us stronger, that people are going to react differently to you. The stronger you get, sometimes the more opposition you're going to get. The more that people are going to dish you, the more that people are going to want like nothing to do with you. And you won't even know why. You just say, man, these people are like, they don't even want to look at me. I mean, I go through Walmart, I go through lines sometimes, and it's just like, they're like. And now I know what it is, but before I was like, whoa, is there something coming out of my nose? Or, you know. And then they'll go right to the person behind you and say, oh, and how are you doing today? Yeah. There's a war going on. But we have the victory. Christ is in us. He's the hope of glory. He's the overcomer. He's our commander in chief. He has the keys. And he's given unto us the keys to bind and to loose and to release the kingdom of heaven. Amen. On the earth to dispossess the enemy's camp. Go in. Do the work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.